Good morning. You really got into those heart stickers, didn't you, Lane? Yeah, those are fun, huh?
Yeah.
You really like hearts? Good, 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 good. Would you guys go fishing with me? Take your hook, put some kind of bait on it. Okay. Can you put some bait on your hook?
I did.
Oh, good. Oh, you're all ready. I'm sorry. Okay. Now we're going to take our rod and cast it out. Maybe draw it in just a little bit, tighten it up a little bit, tease those fish a little bit with that. What do we got on our hook? What do we got on our hook, Alex?
A worm.
We got a worm. Okay, we got a worm wiggling on that hook. So we pull in the rod a little bit. No bite. Okay. Reel it in. Okay. Then we're going to cast it again. Bobber's not doing much. Did you know that Jesus, when he first got people to go with him to do his work, he got 4 fishermen. They were busy on their boats, and he said, "Come on, you're coming with me." And they went along with him. James and John and Andrew and Peter. And they went with him. And he said, "I'm going to make you fish for people." Pretty silly, huh? Fishing for people. Do you suppose that means they're snagging people and pulling them in? that was meant to be silly. You're right, Lane. What he meant was, people are going to want to follow you. People are going to be so excited about what you are teaching, what you are showing, that they will want to follow me too. And you can do that too. When you're nice to people, when you sit with a new kid at school, when you say, "Everybody's welcome to sit with me at lunch," they want to follow the person that you're following. They say, "She's so nice. He's so kind. He's always nice. And when that big kid picked on me, he stood up beside me. She was over there with me so the big kids wouldn't pick on me again." And that's how people see Jesus in you. And they want to follow Jesus too, because it looks so good. Because you're so kind and you care about people. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Okay? All right. And I didn't have fish, but I do have frogs. So I have a frog for you. But let's say a prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you have called us all to fish for people. Help us be good examples. Help us listen to all the kind things that you would want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now, who wants a frog?
I want a green one.
You want a green one? There's a green one. Take the green one. They're kind of hooked together there, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I want.
You want the red one? Okay. Yeah, their little feet are stuck together. There you go. Thank you for coming up. Please, would you pray with me? We thank you, God, for all the blessings we notice and those we take for granted. We thank you for nourishing food, clean water, warm clothes, and people who love us. Lead us to bless the world with your bounty. Lead us to love others as you love us. Jesus, thank you for teaching us good news, justice, mercy, peace, and love. Help us share. Make us wise and kind. We thank you for healing. Help us recognize your presence when we hurt, when our hearts are broken, when we are lost. Spirit, fill us, renew us, make us more than we are, make us examples of your love, make us instruments of your peace. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Here ends the reading from Matthew 4. My message this morning is just good news. You lose a battle or two and they look down on you forever. Isaiah's passage in our call to worship reminds us of the dark times in Zebulun and Naphtali to make the joy even lighter. In the dark days, could they have imagined rising up a prophet, one who healed with power and taught with authority? Yet great things, great light, was promised to lift heavy darkness. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of Jacob's sons. The 12 tribes of Israel are named after Jacob's sons, and their territories and tribes take their names. Zebulun and Naphtali were in the sticks, the hinterlands, though surrounded by major trade routes. Nazareth, the home village of Jesus, is smack dab in Zebulun. These regions were in the south of Galilee. Galilee was in the north of Palestine, west and south of the Sea of Galilee, most of the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Capernaum was a city on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. We traveled there in January with Peter when he was summoned by the centurion Cornelius. Capernaum was a fishing town where Jesus settled for a time at the beginning of his ministry. Many of his well-known healings took place in Capernaum. There are three parts to today's scripture: an example of how Jesus fulfilled Hebrew prophecy, Jesus calling his first followers, and Jesus beginning to share the good news. Jesus brought healing, wholeness, and hope to Galilee, as Isaiah promised. Growing up, coming from Nazareth, teaching and healing and forgiving in Capernaum, Jesus brought light to a dark land. How might you bring light into darkness, hope into despair? You too are the good news. Jesus asked Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. They dropped their work and got with the program. Have you listened to the call of Jesus? Have you begun to put compassion, justice, and peace into your life? Have you tried living Christ's version of radical love? Can you imagine if everyone who says they follow Jesus would lay down weapons, open up doors and pantries and arms and hearts? Wouldn't that be good news? Part three, Jesus healed people, and Jesus started spreading the good news of the realm of God everywhere he went.
What did he call good news?
Three verses after today's passage, he began, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In the book of Jesus, being poor, small, sad, hungry, and merciful makes you blessed, happy. That is good news. The world has so many meek, so many hungry. The world needs many more merciful, more peacemakers. That would be good news. And finally, in his Beatitudes, his blessings, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Such a funny kind of good news he teaches. You will be happy, you will be blessed when people persecute you for doing the right thing. How can that be? Anne Frank wrote, "Everyone has inside of him a piece of good news. The good news is that you don't even know how great you can be, how much you can love, what you can accomplish, and what your potential is." Recently, I watched a recording of the Reverend Dr. William Barber preach at last year's Wild Goose Festival in North Carolina. Reverend Barber is a Disciples of Christ pastor who has been leading the Moral Monday protests at the State House. He was arrested at the State House. His arrest record said he was singing, praying, and speaking loudly. In other words, preaching. They do that. At the Wild Goose Festival, a camp out for progressive Christian music and discussion, Pastor Barber reminded them that it is easy to speak where everyone applauds. All the prophets, Jesus, and every believer are called to speak God's good news in hostile territory. At the Carolina State House, Moral Monday protesters are speaking against powerful legislators. Those powerful legislators cut off unemployment. They had persecuted the immigrant. They had reduced health care. They had limited the right to register and vote. They cut taxes on the rich. Meanwhile, they had raised the pay for themselves and their buddies. When Moral Mondays began, nearly all the people of North Carolina disapproved of those rabble-rousers clogging up the State House, while they approved of the work of their elected representatives. Months later, the opinions reversed. Hearing people of faith speak the truth changed opinions. Hearing people of faith say, "Blessed are the poor, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers," changed the conversation. Hearing people of faith call out injustice and put themselves on the line for the poor, the weak, the hopeless made listeners turn up the sound. Seeing people of faith willing to go to jail, be persecuted for doing what is right, brought tens of thousands to the streets to march for justice, to defend the good news. You see, the good news was not for the rich or the powerful. Jesus spoke to children, women, the poorest of the poor. The good news is for the least of these, our sisters and our brothers. Reverend Barber calls himself a conservative Christian, because conservatives hang on to the old. as he speaks out for undocumented immigrants, members of the LGBT community, women, the unemployed, bullied teens, African Americans, those shut out of health care and elections, and those without enough to eat. Barber affirms that those poor and meek were awarded the good news 2,000 years ago directly from the Christ himself. Barber clings to that old, old good news. Who around you needs to hear the good news? Jesus found some places more receptive than others. He preached in them all. Dr. Barber reminds us that we are called to preach in the hostile places. How else will they know the Lord's good news? From Psalm 94, O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words, all the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the stranger, they murder the orphan, and they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? The one who planted the ear does not hear. The one who formed the eye does not see. The one who disciplines the nations, who teaches knowledge to the humankind, does the Holy One not chastise? The Lord knows our thoughts, that they are but an empty breath. Happy are those whom you discipline and whom you teach out of your law, giving them respite from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake the people, for justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who contrive mischief by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and the God is the rock of my refuge. From Psalm 94. Snow may blow and flowers will fade. Speaking for the voiceless will not make you popular. In fact, Jesus promised persecution. Woohoo! But the good news of the Lord our God is always good, always pulling, calling you to share, to speak, to love out loud while the Holy Spirit fills your lungs, your heart, and strengthens your backbone. Abraham Lincoln said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right." The love of Christ calls you every day to speak and work for forgiveness, compassion, justice, peace, and love. Amen.